the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Titus says in chapter 1, verse 16 about false teachers, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. Well, this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's Exploring the Word. And for me, it's good to be back. I've missed several days. And Alex, I miss being with you, but I heard everything went great with Jeff Shambly.
Well, he did. We prayed for you. We knew God was using you and Jan greatly as you traveled. But Jeff Shambly, as always, did just a fine job sitting in. And, you know, speaking of Jeff Shambly, he oversees The Stand, a lot of great content there. And I had a great surprise this morning. I found out that I've got an article on The Stand, probably being posted even today. But welcome back, Bert Harper. I trust everybody had a good Labor Day weekend and a lot to thank God for, but a lot to pray for as well. And, you know, this is our prayer day as well. And later on in the show, Bert, as we get to prayer, I'm going to share just a really heart-rending email that came in not long ago from someone that needs prayer. But we are in Titus, and you know, you mentioned there verse 16 of chapter 1. Earlier, an hour ago, I was reading verse 9 about, you know, Paul was urging those in the ministry, but I think this is applicable to all Christians, you know, holding fast the word of faith, and by sound doctrine exhort, but also to refute the false doctrine. The King James renders it gainsayers. But Bert, aren't we proactively proclaiming truth, but sometimes we're also responding and refuting untruth?
Well, if you use the New Testament speaking, writing, you will do that. The New Testament demonstrates that. The book of Titus does that. First Peter does that. Again and again, we find Paul sharing that. So here in Titus, I think is as clear as any place that I've ever looked at for a scripture concerning the false doctrine that they teach and why they're doing it. And again, professing to know God, but in works, they deny Him. So Alex, what are you going to look at? What people say or what people do? And let me see, James had something to say about that, about being doers of the word and not hearers only, but especially about those that teach false doctrine. And so it's amazing to me what happens here in the transition. And again, in the original writing, there was not a chapter 2, okay? So verse 16 is connected to chapter 2, verse 1. And after he says that, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work, but as for you. Now, Alex, again, I think he's saying to Titus, let's examine, make sure what you do, follow through, be obedient. And so, but as for you, Alex, I think we need to look at that, you and myself here on Exploring the Word. But it's for me, regardless of what others might say or do, contradicting the Word of God, as for us, we're going to do our best to stick to the Word of God. And again, that's a command from the Lord Himself, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. You know, chapter 2 begins, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Bert, if there is sound doctrine, conversely, there is unsound doctrine. And folks, what does that mean, S-O-U-N-D? Well, it means truth, biblical, orthodox, faithful to Scripture. You know, Bert, we've often talked about the little book of Jude, and in Jude chapter, verse 3, because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but it says that we are to, quote, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The gospel doesn't get revised. We don't deconstruct and reinvent God's word. Earnestly contend means, in the original language, the word is agonize, right? And just like there is the faith once delivered, Titus here, 1:16, and then segueing into 2:1, We are to speak the things that are biblical and true. What is sound doctrine? Well, that there's one Savior and one Savior alone, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about who God is, how to be prepared for eternity. The Bible also talks about marriage, morality, gender, economics, government, a civil society, what is ethical and right, what is immoral and wrong. And more than ever, Bert, our world, maybe even some churches, need to rediscover and recommit themselves to what is sound biblical doctrine.
Amen. Doctrine is teaching. What are you teaching? Now, Alex, notice this, and what you just said is the best introduction to what we're going to do than anything. This doctrine should lead into godly living. If this teaching does not lead into godly living as Christ shared it, as the Word of God promotes it, then it is that false doctrine. It is not correct. It's not following the Lord. Because notice what it says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, fervent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Now it goes into verse 3, to the older, the women likewise. But let's look at that. That, and sometimes those three-letter words like but and then or that, they speak volumes, okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, this sound doctrine that you teach, this sound doctrine that you promote, and in my version it says, which is proper. In other words, this is what God says is right, that this may happen. And again, if you don't have this sound teaching, which is truth, let's put it that way, truth. Not Amen. My truth, not your truth, the truth, which is from God, and he shares it in the Word of God. If it is not that, then you're going to have all kinds of chaos, and that's what it's saying. What is marriage? Oh, it's anything you want. What's your identity? Oh, anything you identify with, however you feel today. You see the chaos that results when false mm-hmm. doctrine, false teaching is brought in and put on a level to live by. All kinds Amen. Of difficulty occurs, doesn't it?
Well, notice verse 2 and verse 3 of Titus chapter 2. There are some instructions to the aged men and then to the aged women. There is no third gender. There is no non-binary. There are men and women. There are males and females. And Bert, the phrase there, or the term aged, A-G-E-D, or the mature, the grown-ups, be sober, grave, temperate, that means self-control, sound in faith. In other words, you're a believer and you know what you believe and you're living it out. In charity, and that means authentic Christian love and patience. You know, when I see those attributes, I just think about the people in my life growing up. Even as a little kid, you could tell the men, for lack of a better phrase, I'm going to say, they kind of had it all together, you know? They were steady and calm and wise. Bert, I was privileged to grow up around a lot of older, wise people. And looking back, the day came when I began to realize that wisdom was from the Lord. They walked with God. I think about godly women. Oh, my goodness. Verse 3. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, to love their children. Do you see right here, besides really praising the virtues of wisdom and godliness, you've got men and women here, and then you've got the traditional heterosexual monogamous marriage and family, a husband, a wife, children. Bert, if we took Titus 2:2-3 to heart, it would change our country.
Amen. Hey, it would change your church. Let's bring it down even closer. And because we're having a lot of denominations and going astray on this issue, trying to quote bring it to relevance. Listen, it's relevant when you make it biblical. That's when it is. Alex, go back to verse 2 just for a moment. Notice this, sober, reverent, temperate. Those are in actions, but then other things that is shown in your attitude, faith, love, and patience. So your actions and your attitude, you know me, I'm going to go, how can we outline this or simplify this in a way that everybody can understand it? Your actions and your attitude need to line up with the Word of God. This is the sound doctrine. And then when in verse 3, the older women likewise. In other words, there's not a different level on maintaining this sound doctrine and following up and doing. And then it adds to it. And I think the reason is that the women are so influential in the home. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the mother is so much.
Teachers of good things.
That's exactly right. And where does it start? It starts there with a mother holding that child, the mother in have the cradle. This is where it starts. It's demonstrated and spoken. So the mother holds that child in her arms and sings and shares the Word of God as she says verses. And I don't know if they do a lot. My wife should use Bible verses and put a tune to it and sing to her children as she was holding them in her arms. And this is it, and it stays with them. Train up a child in the way he should go. So it's demonstrating that. And just like you said in verse 4, admonish. In other words, listen, it's more than just say, okay, I want to encourage you. The admonishment has to do with being courageous and saying this is what God demands and God expects. So, Alex, again, Paul is telling Titus, you're a pastor here. I've sent you to this place, and it's a difficult place, but I want you to stand firm on sound doctrine that works out in the godly living. I don't think things have changed, brother.
They haven't changed. And by the way, there's this old saying, if it's true, it isn't new. And if it's new, it isn't true. Let me just say this. When we try to reinvent things that are time-honored, plus affirmed by the Word of God, marriage, family, morality, right living, humility, and the fear of God. I mean, these things are affirmed by the pages of Scripture. They go back to the very beginning of human history. And we're living in a very lawless culture nowadays. And we cast off restraint at our own peril. But let me get to verse 8. Okay, the godly women that are influential. And by the way, let me just say this. I like what you said a minute ago, Bert, that it's not men over women. The word likewise in verse 3 speaks to the way scholars understand the Bible on men and women. It's called complementarianism. And one of the great, more recent books on this is by a couple, Andreas and Margaret Kostenberger, the biblical roles of men and women. Men and women are equal in worth and value and dignity, but unique in function. But we're complementary. And it says in verse 5, to be discreet. This are the godly women, learning this from the mature godly women. Chaste. In other words, modesty. Keepers at home. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. And so much more. But we're going to continue in Titus 2 after this, plus calls, prayer requests on this Tuesday edition of Exploring the Word. Stay with us. More after this break in Titus 2 and your interaction as well.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant, sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option, until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year.
how many mothers Preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Every second of our lives, we are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter where you are.
Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. And we're very glad that you are. And we're going to resume Titus 2 in just a moment. But, hey, Bert, you were on the road last week. You were out preaching and teaching and doing a lot of great things for the gospel. Give us an update, would you, Bert?
Well, thank you, Alex. I do. I want to say a big thank you to Antioch Baptist Church in Sylvester, Georgia. I've been there several times just enjoying what a great group of people, hospitality beyond measure. And there are a lot of AFR listeners. They love exploring the word. They love you, Alex. And listen, it's great to have these people that pray for you. Bruce Gordon and his wife, Vicky, what a couple they are. We love them. They are just great pastor and man, a lot of great pastors and their wives out there. And that brings us to Fishbowl. Listen, pastor and wife, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. We still got some spots open for our Fishbowl, 28th, 29th, and 30th of October. You can go to repairingthefoundations.net and register. And if you want to register your pastor and his wife, check with them first, see if they could come and see if they can be there. Alex is going to be there with us. Angie's coming. We're looking forward to it. But, Alex, one more thing. Dr. James Dobson has gone on to be of the Lord, and I haven't been on since that time with me traveling and preaching. I haven't been able to say a word. I just want to give all praise to God for bringing Dr. James Dobson. In 1977, he would start Focus on the Family, and that is the first, that was the year our oldest son, Nathan, was born. I tell folks he started Focus on the Family just for me so that I could have some help as much as I could. Dr. Dobson, a man of God, and I know you worked with him and was close with him. But I just got to tell one story, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay.
Please.
This is back when cassette tapes ruled. Do you remember that? Okay.
Oh, I still have cassette tapes.
Okay. Well, you could order 12 cassette tapes concerning the family, you know, and Jan and I did that. We wanted to know as much as we could, as be the best parents that we could possibly be. And so we had these cassette tapes, and they were in a notebook, and you could, you know, listen to them. We'd listen to all of them. But our oldest son, Nathan, who helps on exploring the Word now, and he's just a great kid, but he's a reader. I mean, to be a leader, you got to be a reader. He believes that, and, man, the books he reads is amazing. But he got into those tapes, 12 tapes, and the one he took out and started to do some damage to, guess what it was?
I don't know.
To spank or not to spank.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah. Jed and I figured this kid can already read by the time before he's 1 year old. Yeah.
He had a vested interest in getting rid of that tape.
He did, because Dr. Dobson said, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But I do want to give a shout out. Thank God for Dr. Dobson and his wife, Shirley. What a difference one man has made in the lives of so many people here in America. I found out today that film series that was shot in San Antonio, Texas, it has been viewed by 80 million people. That right. is how powerful it was. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Dr. Dobson, Alex.
Amen. Well, thank you. And yes, I did several interviews because I worked for him a total right at 8 years. And I cannot overstate the impact. I mean, you know, 2 decades before I ever went to work for him, I was a young Christian and I was learning about, you know, the family and marriage, and Dr. Dobson was huge. But Bert, I've got to say this, and folks, we're getting back into Titus 2, and Paul is writing down things about being a leader. I mean, whether it's in the church, in the family, in the community, a lot of this is all about being a Christian leader. And folks, everybody listening, number one, the purpose of life is to know Jesus. And I don't care what you accomplished or what life brings you. If you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, you've missed the point of everything. But then as a believer, to mature and grow in the Lord, and God will use you. Bert, I was thinking about this, and if I leave out any names, you can fill in the blank. But just think about this. And of course, a week ago, the homegoing of James Dobson. Days prior to that, the homegoing of John MacArthur. Okay. Chuck Colson, Adrian Rogers, Don Wildman, Charles Stanley, Jerry Falwell, Bill Bright, Phyllis Schlafly, John MacArthur, James Dobson, D. James Kennedy. Now, what do all these have in common? Well, all these people, you know, this is like 8 or 9 major, unbelievably influential, godly people. It was my privilege to meet every single one of them. I met several of them I was very personally close to. But here's my point, and Bert, I'm going to throw to you. Folks, there are so many vacancies now on the evangelical horizon. God's great leaders have gone on home to glory. But what about you and what about me? Now it's our hour to be faithful. Dobson was a champion for marriage and family. Who's going to be that champion now? I think about people like Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley that were a champion for the church. John MacArthur was a champion for the exposition of God's word as written. Don Wildman, there's a documentary on his life on changing the culture. Chuck Colson, I think, was the first person I ever heard use the term biblical worldview. And of course, Billy Graham.
Yeah, I'd be best not to forget him. You're right, man.
Yeah, and he was the personification of evangelism. So all of these areas, the home, the church, the word, missions, evangelism, now every one of us. And look, you have a role to play, folks. We all do. We have to pick up the baton and run with it, don't we, Bert?
We really do. And listen, God wants you to influence your world. Now, again, your world may not be as big as Billy Graham's or Dr. Dobson, but your world, it may be a community. It may be a workplace, but be that godly influence. And I believe out of that small area, God raises up to give a bigger area. If you're not going to be faithful to the Word of God in a small area, He will not bring it into fruit into a bigger area. And so here it is, these names that have just blessed us, strengthened us, and there's some people still doing it. I can't help but think of David Jeremiah. He is still preaching the Word of God, and there's others we thank God for. Alex, one thing I want to do, back in verse 5, that's where we stopped off. Look at the last phrase in verse 5, because I believe it's so important that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. In other words, when you have the right doctrine, and then your life demonstrates that, it's truth, it's godly. But when there's a big discrepancy, there's always going to be a... we're not perfect. We're going to struggle. We're going to have times when we don't, I didn't quite do that the way I should have. I didn't respond as nice and quickly and the right way. But listen, if it's totally different faults and using all the characteristics that is demonstrated in chapter 1, verses 10 through, 14, fables and doing all that, the Word of God would be blasphemed if you're not teaching it and living it. So, Alex, that's pretty. I looked at that and I said, man, this shows you how important it is that we follow through with what God has taught us and sound teaching, and that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. Alex, that I find that really got my attention. How about you?
Oh, amen, amen. And, you know, the word there in the English is translated blasphemed or, you know, slandered. And really, it really means maligned. And I will tell you, the original slanderer against the Word of God was Satan.
It is.
You know? And that's why, and there's, believe me, we could do an entire semester on how we know that the Bible you have in your hand is the supernatural divine Word of God. The Bible is God's Word. And we proclaim it, we believe it, we want to live it, and we will even, if need be, defend it and not let the Word of God be slandered or maligned. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, verse 7, this means this is your habit, your lifestyle. This is who you are. It's a consistency, a pattern of good works in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, in other words, the unbeliever, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
Wow.
Isn't that something? We should live such that even an atheist would say, hey, I might not be a believer, but that Bert Harper, he's for real, you know?
Alex, let's go to Daniel real quick. Let me see. They were trying to find something to tell the king how Daniel was not doing his job. He was pilfering, trying to get money. They couldn't find a thing. So they had to make up a law that would say, qualify him, that no one can pray or look to any other god but you, O king. That's the only fault they could find with Daniel. I mean, they had to make up something in order to find something to say against him. This is so powerful. In verse 7, notice this. I'm New King James, and I think it does say these words a little bit more relevant today. Integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Integrity. Alex, let's go back to Dr. Dobson. What was so real about him? And I heard the interview with his two children, Danae and Ryan, today. It was on their program today. And they both talked about what they heard and they saw in their dad when he was speaking or writing is what they saw in their home, filled with integrity, reverence toward God and his word, and incorruptibility, that I am not going to go a different way. I'm going to stay true. So here it is. These young men, this is what you are to do. Those of you who are listening, you may be driving your tractor. You may drive your truck. We've got a lot of truck drivers that listen. We appreciate it so much. People driving home, listen, be that person. Lord, help me to be a man, a woman of integrity, reverencing God and his word, and no corruptible thing coming out of my mouth or my life. Alex, that's a high calling, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, in Titus 2:7 there, it does use the word integrity. The King James says, you know, showing uncorruptness. All right. A whole number is not a mixed number, and it's the word integer. We get our word integer out of that, a whole number. Integrity. Bert, I got to say this, and listen, I'm just giving God the glory. The Lord's been so good to me, Bert. The Lord has been so good to me. But many years ago, everybody knows, or most people know, I had the great privilege of working for Dr. Dobson. And not only at Focus on the Family, but at Family Talk too. And I did a lot of different things. And it really opened so many doors. And I can tell you, and it's better to hear it from Shirley and Ryan and Danae. I mean, that's his family. But I did work with him, and I traveled with him, and we went to Virginia and Liberty University, and it was my privilege to kind of be a go-between that Liberty got him to teach classes, and they named a whole program after Dr. Dobson. And I was so privileged to be a little part of that. But anyway, he was everything you hoped. I mean, he was absolutely a man of integrity, godliness, brilliance, and the Lord used him. But he called me and he said, hey, let's plan some of this biblical worldview. This is well over 10 years ago. He said, hey, do you like Chinese food? I'll get Shirley, that was his wife, to get some Chinese food, some takeout, and just come over to our house and we'll eat dinner and we'll work. And I went to their house, which was a townhouse in Colorado Springs, and we sat at their kitchen counter and ate takeout Chinese food and worked for about 3 or 4 hours one weeknight. But I go in there and there's, you know, family pictures, and I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is Mr. Marriage and Family, and I'm in their living room. Lord, you are so good to me. And, you know, for one thing, I'm just amazed at all the incredible things the Lord's let me experience. But yeah, God raises up these people that are, you know, they are 1,000% authentic. And that's our calling, isn't it?
It really is. And again, be faithful. Here's what I heard, you know, in the interviews the last 2 days. What he was at home in that small circle, God used him there just like he would use him in a larger circle. Be faithful where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Let God use you where you are, and let God give the increase. It does not mean that you don't strive for excellence and find out what you can do. But listen, if you do not have the foundation by which to build a ministry on, to be faithful, then go back to these words, integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. If you don't have that in your small circle, why would God give you a bigger circle of influence?
Yeah.
So let's strive for that. And two things, Alex, I'll bring it up and I'll throw it back to you. Actions and attitudes. So, hey, call that number, 888-589-8840. It's the day of prayer, isn't it, Alex?
It is, folks. Call us with prayer requests, Bible questions too. But on this Tuesday edition of Exploring the Word, let us hear from you and we'll celebrate Jesus together. Stay tuned.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Amen. When you hear that song, you know it's Tuesday and it's time for prayer, day of prayer. We're looking forward to that. By the way, Alex, there's something else we can do. Share-a-thon's coming up in October, so that means a little more than a month away, and we're getting listener testimonies, listener stories. And Brent, did you find that number that people, you're looking it up? I did not have it. But it's October. We're going to be in that. It's going to be a great time, a share-a-thon of sharing. But my favorite part is always the listener testimonies. You got a number that people can call?
I do. I finally found it. It's 877-876-8893.
You know you have to repeat it, right?
I was about to do
that. Okay, dude.
877-876-8893.
Now that's the number for listener testimonies. If you got something to say about exploring the word that God has used to bless you, this program or other programs, it may be Alex on his weekend program or exploring missions on mine and my son's weekend program. But if you got something to say, just share it. Good. Make it about that. They ask about no more than 2 minutes. because it's hard to use one. It's real long. So make that call and let us hear from you. Well, Alex, day of prayer, right? And you had a prayer request. So would you mind starting off with that?
Yeah, we had an email come in a couple of hours ago. Brent forwarded it to me, and I've already emailed this man back and requested that he and I could talk. But I'm not going to give the name, but let me just read a little bit of this. And I want to ask everybody, please pray for the Holy Spirit of God to help this person. It says, whomever reads this, I have been and I still believe in God. I believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose. He says, but hope for my life is pretty much gone. God said nothing too great would be placed on me, but I'm more depressed than ever. He said, I'm so sad. He lists a number of things about his marriage and his life. He said, I guess there's no happiness for me in this life. He says, I feel so stressed. He says, please tell me you understand me. Nope, don't lie. No one can understand me and how sad that he is. He goes, maybe I just don't know. Anyway, this email is just full of what I would call hopelessness. And God knows this person's name. I'm staring at the guy's name. And I emailed him back and I said, please give me a call. And I just want to say to everybody listening, and Bert, I'm going to ask you to pray. Look, one human cannot fully understand another human, but the Lord understands, and he really does care. And I would say to everybody, if you're in one of those bad days, and you're in a day and you just cannot see any glimmer of light, I can promise you things will get better. And tomorrow is another day. And folks, please, like I'm going to say to this man, please believe that God has good for you. In 3.5 decades of pastoral and professional counseling of people, I know life can get in some deep, dark valleys, but hang in there. A new day comes. And Bert, I've seen it 10,000 times when people cry out to God and maybe just say, Jesus, please help me. Things do begin to turn around, don't they?
They really do. I'm going to pray, but I don't want to quote Corrie ten Boom when she was in that prison camp there. She said, there's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Alex, God's love is real, so we want to pray. Father, for this man, I'm praying, God, that you would touch his life. I pray that he would see the hope that is waiting all believers who have trusted Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it plain that we live in this fallen world, and in this world there will be more than our share of difficulties sometimes. Those difficulties that come with living, those difficulties come from our mistakes, those difficulties that come from others. But Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this man would look unto the hills from whence cometh his help. His help comes from the Lord. And I pray he would make that phone call to Alex as Alex made himself available. And Father, you would intervene in his life that he could see God at work in his life, even at the most difficult times. And again, I'm still reminded of what Corrie ten Boom said in that prison camp, in that really death camp of Nazis, that there's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. He'll bear us up on eagle's wings, Father. You'll take him out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and set his heart right with you and set him on a rock and give him a new song in his heart that he can just sing unto you. We're praying for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Alex,
amen.
I know Brent has, I think I had some prayer requests.
Yes.
And we do major on prayer requests on Tuesdays, and we'll get to some questions as well. Would you share those?
First off, I have a praise. The mother-in-law, Janice, that I'd ask everybody to pray for, she's coming home tomorrow.
Amen. That's something I was asking about her this just 2 hours ago.
Right.
Yeah. If she is home
so
yet.
I just found that out.
Okay.
So that's
amen.
Awesome. Thank
amen.
You for prayers for that. I've got a couple from Facebook. One is from Fran. She is asking for a prayer for her family.
Okay. Fran, family. Write that down, all you prayer warriors. Go ahead.
And then Dana is asking for prayer for her brother, Craig, who has stage 4 cancer.
Okay. I got another one here. Trisha praying for a cousin, Andy. He has cancer, stage 4. Chemo stopped working, and he has children, 4 children from 2 to 14 years old, and we need to be praying. So we got a lot to pray for. Alex, God remembers all these names. Sometimes I forget. Mm-hmm. That's the reason I pray for them when I hear it, because my memory may can slip and not remember their names, but God doesn't. Would you mind praying for all these?
And what was that third? Fran praying for the family. Craig, who has stage 4 cancer. And Bert, what was the third one?
It is Andy. His name is Andy.
Mm-hmm. And what's that situation?
He has cancer, stage 4 cancer. Has 4 children, ages 2 to 14 years old, and the chemo that they've been using has stopped working. So it's pretty desperate.
Let's pray. Let's agree together in prayer, everybody. Father God, we thank you that you are our healer. You're our provider. You're the sustainer of life. And all of us need you, Lord. Every day we need you, and we could not wake up in the morning if you didn't call our name and get us through the day. And dear Jesus, we thank you for the strength that you give to us for each and every day. And Lord, we especially, Lord, I know in a listening audience this size, there's a lot of people with health needs, a lot of people with concerns. Lord, minister to each and every one. We especially, by name, we lift up these Fran, who's saying prayer for the family. And whatever the needs are in that situation, we pray for that family and families all across our nation. Pray for this person named Craig with stage 4 cancer. Lord, from a human perspective, it looks hopeless perhaps, but Lord, we ask that you would intervene for Craig, and your will be done, and your name be glorified. And Lord, I pray for Andy. He's got kids, 4 children ages 2 to 14. Lord, the dad is so paramount in the life of children. We know this. So, Father God, if it be thy will, intervene and help this man recover, fully recover in Jesus' name. And where the chemotherapy wears out, that's where the power of Jesus comes in. And so, Lord, for all of these things, we pray for health, happiness, holiness in all these lives, and no doubt the lives of many people listening right now. Jesus, our healer, we look to you, yes. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Well, let's go to the phone lines. And in Tennessee, it's Ethan. Ethan, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I had a prayer request for my mom. She has a consultation tomorrow. She has ovarian cancer that's spread, it seems like, to her stomach and maybe other places also. And it's a very aggressive type from what I understand. And we're just waiting to hear what can be done. And just very, very devastating news. She's the best person I've ever met. And we love her very much.
Well, hey, Ethan, would you mind sharing her first name?
Nikki.
Okay. How spell that?
N-I-C-K-Y.
Nikki,
I got you. Well, we want to do that and pray for her, and then praise the Lord for the report that Brent gave us about his mother-in-law, Janice. So, Alex, is it all right for me to pray for this?
Lead us, Bert.
Father, thank you for Ethan, loving his mom. Thank you for a mom that he could say as good a person as he's ever met. I thank you for moms and dads like that have gone before us, and I pray for her healing, Father. However you choose to heal, we give you glory. As I heard one doctor say, it's God that does the healing. No matter what you give them, medicine, therapy, or just God touching their life, it's God that puts the healing touch. And we're praying that for Nikki. And Father, I'm praying also and thanking you for Janice being able to come home. And I know Brent and Stephanie's been praying for that and asking for that, and we're just rejoicing in it. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, Alex, we got other prayer requests. Frank in Kentucky, Frank, thank you for calling. Frank, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead. What's your? You got a prayer request, don't you?
Yes, I do. My prayer request is the lady that she's bearing a burden for her son that's killed himself and killed those kids at school. Those two kids, and caused a lot of trouble with shooting through the window. Oh, I'm sure she's going through a lot of trouble in her heart.
Yeah. Well, we'll do that. We've been praying for the families of those victims, Alex, but many times there's the back, I call it the backstory of the person. We need to keep everything in there in prayer. We really do. Brent, you got another prayer request?
I have two more. On Facebook, Rose is asking for prayer for her 11-year-old grandson who has cancer. And Sean is asking for prayer for his son, Chase, who is living a homosexual lifestyle.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Rose, 11-year-old son with cancer, right? And then Sean, his son.
11-year-old grandson.
11-year-old grandson. Grandson, okay. And then Sean, whose son is choosing a homosexual lifestyle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alex, you mind praying for them?
Let's pray. Father God, we bow again, and what a joy that on this radio program on Tuesdays we spend a season in prayer. And Lord, thank you for being the God who hears our prayers, and you can intervene, and you do intervene. And Lord, I as the man from Kentucky, Frank, said, you know, we're praying for that Minnesota situation, the shooting up there, just unspeakably tragic. And some even mocked the idea that we pray. But Lord, we know you are our source. And Lord, heal and restore and bring good out of tragedy. And Lord, I do pray for the mom who raised the young man that was a shooter. And Lord, I pray that she would come to know you if she doesn't already. And certainly, so many conflicting emotions must be going through her heart and mind. And not a lot was said about the dad, but we pray for the dad and the mom to heal and know you. And then finally, Rose's 11-year-old grandson, how sad that a child would have cancer. Father, we pray for this boy that he would be healed and he would grow up to be a champion for Christ and that he would know you. And so hear the prayers of this grandmother. And then Sean, whose son Chase has embraced a gay lifestyle. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for his rescue back to the land of truth and reality. And Father, I just want to, our nation now for a couple of decades has just been bludgeoned into submission about the LGBTQ trans ideology. Lord, it is false. It is contrary to your word. I believe it is of the devil. And I know people get into all that for a lot of reasons. Many have been abused. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, drive out the spirit of sexual immorality, homosexuality, and transgenderism. Drive it away from us in Jesus' name. And all the people that have been ensnared by this myriad of sins, set them free, keep them alive physically till they could be born spiritually. And Father God, only you can do it. But would you restore truth, morality, traditional marriage, in the name of Jesus, break the delusion and the spirit of falsehood and Satan, and restore our nation, and that would include this young man named Chase. In Christ's name and for your glory, we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you was praying, I could not help but think about all the things that they'd been trying to cram, but the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. All you have to do is look at the lifestyles of so many in this area, and you see that. This young man from Minnesota, listen, try, you know, transgender, the whole idea, kill, steal, and destroy. That's what our enemy wants. We stand against him, and we stand for righteousness. And that's what we've been studying in the book of Titus. Real truth, truth, sound doctrine.
True truth.
It is. Frank from Louisiana, we'd love to get to your question. Call back tomorrow, and you'll be first one in line if you can get through tomorrow. Alex, Take care, brother. Appreciate you. Glad you're on
today.
Appreciate
you guys. Amen. Thank you for listening, everybody. Hey, keep our nation in prayer. Tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.